Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is Lee Bright. Looking forward to being with you for the next 4 hours. We've got some interesting guests coming on today. We've got Tom Davis coming on in the 3 o'clock hour to talk a little bit about his bill to legalize medical marijuana, which, interestingly enough, in Charleston, the Republicans have passed a resolution supporting his bill. So that's a good thing to have. And I think that, you know, I want to hear what you have to say about it. Our Ingalls Advantage text line is our Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063. And the Common Sense Retirement text line is 71307. But with what we've got going on with the opioid crisis and what we're dealing with on that side of it, you think about medical marijuana and the possibility of helping some folks that may be, you know, dealing with opioids and things like that. I think it's something we seriously need to consider. Tom Davis has been a fearless fighter when it comes to legislation. I was on some of those committees and met with some of those parents and listened to some real horror stories on what these young children have gone through, and then these families having to go to other states to seek treatment. So that there's some real opportunities there. You know, keep an open mind. I know that a lot of folks are really concerned about recreational use. They're really concerned about what this could do to us as a state. They don't want to see us in a situation like Colorado and having the cannabis stores on every corner. So there's a lot of concerns out there, and I share some of those concerns, but, you know, it is a plant, and it's something that can help people that are really in need, and I just hate to see people having to go to other states to help their children and really to help themselves. I mean, there's evidence that helps with PTSD. There's evidence that it helps with a lot of problems that folks are experiencing. You know, you have these children that with epilepsy that have issues that it's really brought down the number of episodes they have. So I think it's something we need to look at. And Tom Davis is really been great on that issue. He's really brought it to the forefront. So I'm looking forward to having him in the 3 o'clock hour. And then, of course, we'll have Congressman Jeff Duncan in the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about offshore drilling and some ideas he has there. We've really got a big battle on that. We've got a lot of folks on the coast that don't even want us to study the possibilities. So I think it's an opportunity to have some discussion. He's well-versed on the subject. I was have always been a big supporter in studying the idea, and I think that from what it's done for some of the other states, you know, for Texas, I think it's something that we should look at here. You've got some opportunity in Georgetown where there's industry that we could put into place. There's things we can do as far as the liquefaction side of it. And really, if Trump goes towards export, I mean, there's some real opportunities. There are folks that say that you could get rid of the state income tax if we had offshore drilling. So there's some real things to look at. It's a lot different than, you know, they've developed a lot of technology. And we'll have Congressman Duncan on to talk a little bit about that. But during the 5 o'clock hour, I wanted to have Michael Cutler on with us. He's heavy in the immigration debate, and I want to hear more from him about the wall and what he sees as opportunities there. So we're going to have an exciting 3 hours there. And then the fourth hour, I'd like to get into this District 6 Senate race and get your thoughts on that and see where we're going as a state. There is, you know, a lot was, if you were able to listen to the Tara show, it was very informative this morning. You know, there's a lot of things that have been put out there on social media that's been removed from social media. And she was going through some of that, and we're going to recap a little bit of that. But, you know, this is your voice, and a state Senate race, when it comes down to a special election, it's going to be a very small turnout. And if you can turn out your friends and neighbors and folks from church, I mean, it really makes a difference. And if you don't turn out for the first ballot, I think we've seen all over the state that a lot of folks that are not traditional Republicans get heavily involved in these runoffs. So It's something you need to watch out for. It's something you need to be observant for. So that's what I'm planning for the next 4 hours and looking forward to your calls and texts. Again, the Ingalls Advantage call line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Planning text line is 71307. So we're looking forward to your calls and texts. And I've got a text in now. Mr. Brady used to be against medical marijuana, but I've seen the effects of it and have since seen what it has done. I'm absolutely for it, and I think a lot of people have changed their views on it. I was kind of torn when I was first elected, but after being on the Medical Affairs Committee and hearing some of those testimonies, you know, from folks that it didn't make a difference. Another texter writes, one, the right to seek treatment if you don't want your kids to use it. Ooh, we got another text coming in. If you don't want your kids to use it, teach them not to, and thank God every day they don't need it. Pass it now. I've got another texter writes, no legalization of THC products without surrender of all driving privileges. Drunks and stoners are horrible, dangerous drivers. And then we've got a lot of texts coming in, so a lot of folks are interested. I'm looking forward, like I said, we'll have Senator Tom Davis calling in here the next few minutes, and he is willing to take some of your calls. Also, if we have time, we're going to get into the school choice bill he's filed, which I think that's something that would really move this state forward. We continue to throw money at the education system, and we end up getting the same results. And what we need is some choice, and we've gotten a little bit, but not enough. And you look at they're saying now, looking at more surpluses and throwing more money at education. It hasn't worked in the past, and obviously the definition of insanity is trying, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And that's where we are right now with throwing more and more money after education. So if you bring competition, anytime you bring competition in, it's good for the consumer. And which can, the consumer being our children would be, you know, our biggest concern, should be our biggest concern. And we're not there as a state right now, especially in the lower part of the state. Now, we've got some good public schools up here. But when it comes right down to it, the lower part of the state, you're going to pay for those kids and aren't getting quality educations either through the welfare system or the penal system. And I'd much rather educate them and give them opportunities. Senator Bright got another text in. I'm continuing our battle against government corruption here in Columbia on behalf of the people. Trust me, you can. Sincerely, Hugh L. from Florence, South Carolina. So got some folks coming in. Another one, Lee, the problem is doctors fear government. They don't treat you for chronic pain with cannabis in your blood. So I'm saying they won't treat you for chronic pain. And that's another thing. You know, I've read about, you know, the effects on glaucoma, which I'm a glaucoma sufferer. So, you know, I'm definitely sympathetic to that. And, you know, there's a counter argument that it doesn't help some of these things, that you'd have to walk around, you know, basically, you know, inebriated in order for it to benefit you. So that there's a lot of talk on both sides, but I think as a state, we need to have a discussion because there are people hurting, and I just hate to see the government stand in the way of people receiving the treatment they need. I know there's a lot of folks in the law enforcement community on the other side of this topic, and, you know, maybe we can talk to them. You know, I'll be with you again Monday, Lord willing, so maybe we can talk to some other folks that have some different views, but from everything I've heard and the testimony, I believe we need to help these kids, and I think that this is an opportunity. So I'm looking forward to, like I said, we'll have Senator Tom Davis here shortly. And then, you know, on the education side, we've got to stay engaged on that because, obviously, if we can get some competition like you've seen in other states, it really does make a difference. So those are two key issues, and as a state, that's where you can have more impact. It's a lot tougher to get things done on the federal level than it is to get them done on the state level. So the Ingalls Advantage talk line, again, is 800-347-1063. Common text retirement line, 71307. Looking forward to your calls and your text. Shortly, we're going to hear from Tom Davis, the 4 o'clock hour, Jeff Duncan, and 5 to 6, we'll hear from Michael Cutler. So stay tuned. Looking forward to hearing your calls. Hey, this is Lee Bright. Glad to be with you today. We've got holding on the line Senator Tom Davis. He's going to give us some update on his medical marijuana bill. We got a lot of folks on the text line. And one texter, actually, and I've asked Senator Davis to check on this. He's not aware of any of this happening, but they're concerned about, you know, taking away people's gun rights if they are taking medical marijuana. So, but I've got Tom Davis on the line now. Senator Davis, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Lee. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I tell you, we got a lot of interest in this. A lot of folks in the upstate are passionate, seem to be on your side for the most part.
Well, I look forward to the debate. I think this is going to be the year we get it over the top for several reasons.
Well, tell us what gives you the positive view down there in Columbia. Have you got more co-sponsors, more folks pushing the bill alongside you? I know you've had to stand with just a few of us with you, and you've kind of had to lead the way. Have you got some more help on the Senate side?
We do, Lee. And over the last few years, this subject matter about medical cannabis has been the subject of a number of polls, many different polling companies, different polls, but they all show the same thing consistently. About 70-80% of South Carolinians want doctors to have the power to authorize patient use of cannabis if the doctor, in his or her medical opinion, believes it could be of therapeutic benefit. But an almost equal percentage, between 70-80%, do not want cannabis or marijuana to be used for recreational purposes. And so my job as a representative is to come up with a bill that's reflective of what South Carolinians want. And what South Carolinians clearly want is for doctors to authorize use of cannabis by patients if the doctor thinks it's in their medical best interest, but they want to draw a bright line against recreational marijuana use. And so that's what this bill does. It goes ahead and it empowers doctors to provide written authorizations for cannabis to be used, but only for certain limited conditions, conditions for which the medical science shows cannabis can be of medicinal benefit. But it draws a bright line against recreational use, for example, by making it a felony to divert cannabis for medical to recreational purposes. That's punishable up to 5 years in prison. And, you know, some say this bill is too conservative. Some say it's too strict. What I say is it is a bill that reflects what South Carolinians want. South Carolinians want the most socially conservative, strictly regulated medical cannabis program in the country. And that's what I want to give them.
Well, I tell you, it's been we've had a lot of text on here, and I wanted to kind of run a couple by you because they wanted to ask some questions.
Sure.
One person texted in and I also have a caller that wants to ask you a question, but I'm going to knock out these texts, and then we'll go to that caller. One person wants to know, as a society, we heard about the benefits of opioids in the 90s. Now there's an addiction epidemic. How do we prevent that with cannabis?
Well, first of all, I would say that unlike opioids, cannabis does not have those narcotic addictive powers. So you're dealing with entirely different substances. Second of all, what I would say is that opioids, what they tend to do is not cure the underlying problem. The opioids treat the symptoms. What cannabis does and what the medical science shows is that the cannabinoids that are in marijuana interact with the endocannabinoids that naturally occur in people's bodies, and it helps address the underlying problems in instances like multiple sclerosis or neurological diseases, glaucoma, PTSD, Crohn's disease, any number of chronic pain issues for which opiates are prescribed. Cannabis is a much less addictive, non-addictive, in fact, with less side effects, and in most cases, more effective than opioids. So if we're really serious about addressing the opioid crisis, I mean, let's get people off this pill mill. Let's get them off the opioid trail, and let's let doctors have the authority to authorize cannabis use. And again, I want to stress that last point, Lee. Nothing happens in regard to marijuana. No marijuana is consumed unless a physician makes an inpatient diagnosis of a patient and then certifies in writing that that patient has one of those qualifying conditions for which cannabis can be beneficial. You know, it's very strict, it's very conservative, and nothing happens without a doctor's authorization and a doctor's supervision. So, this isn't Colorado, this isn't California, this is South Carolina. And so, what South Carolinians want is a conservative bill.
So what you're trying to do is take government out between the relationship of the doctor and the patient.
That's right. I mean, if a doctor, we trust the doctor, we give them training, and they have all the respect in the world and deserve it. But if a doctor, in sitting down with a patient who has one of these horrible conditions, And the doctor says, look, this is what the medical science says. This is what can provide you with relief. I don't want politicians. I don't want law enforcement. I don't want anybody stepping in that relationship between a doctor and a patient and saying what that doctor can authorize and what the doctor can't. I want to put power in the hands of a doctor sitting down with a patient.
Well, Senator Davis, I've got Gary from Taylor's. He wanted to ask you a question. And I know we spoke before, and you were glad to take questions. So if I can put Gary on the line, and we'll get his question.
Sounds great.
Gary?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Question for you. In your bill, is there restrictive measures for the actual smoking of marijuana for debilitating conditions?
Yes, there is. And let me tell you the reason for that, Gary. We talk about cannabis being available to patients if doctors authorize it through oils or tinctures or rubs or things of that nature. And let me tell you why that's the case. When we were engaging law enforcement on this and discussing the bill with them, one of their biggest pushbacks was, wait, now people who consume marijuana recreationally, they do so by burning it. They have it in a joint and they smoke it. And we think that it would help draw that bright line between medical use and recreational use if you prohibited and banned the smoking of cannabis. And so I took their point and I incorporated that into this bill. And in this bill, smoking of cannabis or marijuana is not a way legally to consume it. We limit it to oils and things of that nature, which are effective. But look, this is a compromise bill. This is a bill that listens to law enforcement and tries to address their concerns. And again, it's a bill that's reflective of what I think most South Carolinians want. So is it exactly what I would like to have? No. Is it a bill that I think reflects what South Carolinians want? I think it does.
Okay, here's my question. Since vaping is not burning,
mm-hmm.
would that be allowable in the bill?
Yes, vaping is permitted. That's a permissible form of consumption.
Okay, here's my next question. As a taxpayer, I feel, and this may be a little off subject here, Mark Keel is in your meetings, medical committee meetings, testifying that that SLED doesn't want it. Based on his reasons, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking that, you know, the law enforcement group has confiscated a lot of cash for marijuana arrest, civil asset forfeiture, and I'm just wondering this as a taxpayer, why am I paying for Mark Keel to lobby against your bill because they don't really want to diminish their, and I'll call it a slush fund, of how they're able to legally take civil asset forfeiture for people that either are growing it or smoking it or possessing it. So I feel like that's a little bit skewed there. I'm very happy you're doing the bill. And I think, you know, recreational, I'm sure at some point they're going to look at the money, as the other states have done, and go, hey, this is a lot of money. You know, alcohol is already legal. More people are killed by alcohol than anything we know of. So, you know, I just wanted to commend you for getting the bill up, getting it into committee. Hopefully we can get it passed, and as a parent of a military Air Force young man who had PTSD, who took his own life at 33 years old,
oh man,
because in this state he could not receive something that would help him, you know, I'm just happy that you're there. I thank you for your effort, and I'm behind you 100%.
I appreciate that, Gary. And I'll just say this. I have a difference of opinion with Chief Keel in regard to medical cannabis, but I will say this. I respect Chief Keel. He has different experiences than I do. And I listen to him anytime he testifies. And I try to address his concerns, you know, when I'm able to. But he and I just fundamentally disagree in some respects. When he says that there is no medical use for cannabis, that's just empirically not true. I mean, just in 2017, a little over a year ago, the American Academy of Sciences, which is the premier medical science organization in the United States, reviewed over 10,000 scientific abstracts, and they found conclusive evidence, that's the highest degree of evidence possible, that cannabis can be of medicinal benefit in cases where opiates cannot. So the science is behind this, and all I want to do is I want to empower South Carolina's physicians to be able to provide their patients with the medicine that those physicians believe those patients need. I respect Mark Keel, but I don't want law enforcement making that decision. I don't want politicians making that decision. I want patients and doctors making that decision in consultation with each other.
We're going up against a break here. Senator Davis, do you have time to stay with us through the break?
Sure.
Okay, all right. We'll have him on the other side of the break in 6 minutes. We'll have Senator Tom Davis. We'll continue our medical marijuana discussion and hopefully get into the school choice. We got holders calling, lots of text. We'll get to all that after the break. Hey, this is Lee Bright. Glad to be joining you today. The Ingalls Advantage text line, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement line, 71307, the text line. And we got a lot of text to get to. We've got Tom Davis on the line with us now, and Senator Tom Davis. And we've got we've got a caller coming in now with another question. I'm going to try to get some of your text questions as well. So with Tom, we'll go ahead and add this caller and get his question.
Sounds good.
Hey, Senator Davis, Presley Stutz here, chairman of the Greenville Tea Party. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, Presley, how are you? Good to hear from you.
I'm doing very well. Yeah, good to hear from you and good to talk to you. Listen, my wife, she suffers from Parkinson's disease. And it's very obvious that when she's able to get the medical cannabis, it helps her condition, immensely. My question to you is, what kind of legal liabilities are there for an individual who is taking the medical cannabis, and let's say they were involved in an automobile accident or something to that nature? Are there any protections for them along those lines?
Well, currently, Presley, the way the law is, cannabis cannot be consumed in South Carolina for any reason, recreationally or medically.
Correct.
It is a Schedule One substance under the Controlled Substances Act passed by Congress. But so right now, there would be no defense. What the bill provides for is it says that if you are somebody who has gotten a written certification from a doctor saying that you have a qualifying medical condition and that the doctor authorizes your use of cannabis for that condition, you can legally consume it for medical purposes in South Carolina. Now, what my bill also says, though, Presley, is you cannot operate a car or any vehicle under the influence of cannabis any more than you could operate a car or vehicle under the influence of alcohol. There is still a prohibition in that regard. I mean, we don't make it legal. For instance, if you've got a certificate from a physician saying you can take cannabis for a medical condition, that doesn't mean you have the right to then drive a car under the influence of cannabis. So it's from that respect, in terms of driving a vehicle, if you're impaired by taking cannabis, you would be subject to legal liability civilly and criminally, the same way you would if you were under the influence of alcohol.
Right, I understand, but here's the problem as I see it with that. Alcohol can, get out of your system within, say, 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The THC markers stay in your system for 30 to 60 days. She could have taken some CBD oil with a THC in it, 2 days ago, but she's involved in an automobile accident tomorrow. And she's not under the influence, but it will still show up in her blood work that she is under the influence. That's my concern.
Right. I think, I take your point. And I think what we're debating here is, what does being under the influence, quote unquote, mean? And you're right.
Right.
It doesn't. You can't measure it in the same way that you measure alcohol in your system. I mean, I guess the best way that I've seen right now and the way I've seen it explained to me is it would be like a field sobriety test where you get out of your vehicle and you have to go through a series of maneuvers under the supervision or instruction of the officer. And that would then be the determinant of whether or not you were driving, quote, under the influence, unquote, illegally. I'm unaware of any sort of test that you can take that can just gauge the level of either CBD or THC or other cannabis chemical in your system in the same way that we're thinking about measuring alcohol in somebody's system. The two don't equate that way. So you're right. You make a good point in that regard.
Yes. Well, listen, Senator, I know you've been fighting this this battle for several years now. What would be your prognostication? Do things look pretty good this session?
I think they do.
Because it seems to be gaining some momentum. Yes.
Right. It is. And I think people need to take stock of where we are as a country. We've gotten 33 states out of the 50 that have legalized cannabis for medical purposes. We've got the medical science now conclusively showing that cannabis can help patients with these conditions that pharmaceuticals cannot. And we've got the people of South Carolina. And poll after poll, the people of South Carolina, Republicans, Democrats, independents, what have you, between 70 to 80% of them say, for gosh sakes, empower doctors, let doctors make the recommendation they feel is in a patient's best interest. Let's not put handcuffs on them. I mean, how frustrating must that be for a physician if they've got a patient with an autoimmune disease or a neurological disease or Parkinson's or MS or Crohn's disease, and they know that cannabis is there and can help, but the law says they can't authorize its use. That doesn't make any sense. And, Preston, I want to make this one last point. I am a conservative. I am for limited government. I don't understand how individuals who call themselves Republicans can say, we want the state to reach in. We want government to reach in to that doctor-patient relationship and dictate what can be taken and what can't be taken. That's not conservative. That's not limited government. So I expect every Republican who truly believes in getting government out of people's private lives to line up behind this bill.
Senator, you're absolutely correct, and you just gave an excellent segue into the next topic that I think you are going to be discussing, which is school choice. You know, South Carolina, we spend 24th in the nation on our education, but we come in dead last at 50th. And we, the people of this state and the parents particularly, are so upset that we've got an onerous educational bureaucratic system, particularly with some of the private schools. And I know you're sponsoring a school choice bill. Could you talk to us a little bit about that school choice bill and what that involves and how, again, it can get the government out of education and let the parents do best for their children what they need to do?
Great point, Presley. And let's start with what you said at the very beginning of your statement there. The Federal Department of Education each year ranks the states in terms of per pupil spending on K through 12. And as you say, we're 24th in the nation in per pupil spending. 23 states spend more than us, the rest spend less than us, and yet our outcomes, measured in terms of test scores or graduation rates, were either 49th or 50th in the nation. There is a fundamental disconnect between the money we put into the K-12 system and the outcomes we're receiving. And you put your finger on the problem. Too much of that money is being soaked up in that administrative bureaucracy that is K-12 education in South Carolina. Now, what do you do about that? How do you get more of that money, that 24th in the nation per pupil funding, how do you get more of that money into the classroom, into teacher salaries, into curriculum, into instructional materials, into the things that actually make a difference? And I can tell you how you get there. Whenever you have providers of something having to compete, and whenever you have the consumers of that product having choices, you get a better product at a lower cost. And what that means here is letting the customer, letting parents choose where they want to send their kids to school. Give them that choice. And if you do that, guess what? Schools are going to start spending their resources in a way that's going to attract those customers. They're not going to spend it on administration or bureaucracy. They're going to spend it on getting the very best teachers in the classroom with the very best instructional materials, because that's what's going to attract the customers. That's what's going to attract the parents with their kids. So the more we talk about choice, when we talk about making schools compete for the business, when we talk about empowering parents to make choices for their kids, we're talking about letting that free market dynamic exist in the system of K-12 and you're going to find capital spent more efficiently and in a way that gives you the outcomes people deserve. So that's what the school choice movement's about.
Senator Davis, you've been very generous with your time. I don't know if you have much more, but I got plenty of lines lit up and plenty of text questions.
Sure.
If you can hang on through this break, we'll keep you back by popular demand.
Let's do it. Keep bringing it.
We'll have Senator Tom Davis on the other side, and we got to go to a quick break. Hey, this is Lee. Glad to have you on today. We've got the word of the day is cover. The Ingalls Advantage talk line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement text line is 71307. We have Senator Tom Davis on the line. We're trying to get to all your texts and your calls, and we've got a lot of both. So one question I have, Senator Davis, that came through the text line, it said, will this bill allow employers to put workers out on unpaid leave while they're using THC? And the second part of the question was, who bears the financial risk of THC users injuring other workers?
Well, first of all, the bill says that employers are under no obligation to provide space or make arrangements for the consumption of medical cannabis or medical cannabis on the employment premises. So there's no obligation imposed on employers. Nor is there any restriction on an employer dictating what standards of behavior that employer wants on the work hole premises. So we're very mindful that that relationship between an employer and employee is one that I don't want the state to interfere with. I mean, so nothing in this bill would require the employer to do anything in that regard. I mean, all this bill is about, and the bottom line is this, it's about empowering doctors to provide patients with medicine that those doctors think those patients need. We don't try to affect the employer-employee relationship. We don't try to, you know, do anything else to modify existing relationships out there. It's limited to that empowerment factor.
All right. Well, we've got a couple of calls on the line. Carolyn from Greer has a question. We'll get her on the line. Carolyn from Greer, we'll have you talk with Senator Tom Davis.
Thank you so much, Senator Davis. I appreciate you
sponsoring
this bill. My question is, where are you going to be able to purchase the product?
Right. And I'm glad you asked that question because it's an important one, because you've got to have the product grown, processed, and dispensed inside the state lines of South Carolina, because it is still a controlled substance under federal law and it's illegal to transport it across state lines. And so what this bill provides for is for licenses to be given by the Department of Health and Environmental Control to growers of cannabis, processors of cannabis, and dispensers of cannabis. There's a limited number of licenses geographically dispersed around the state so that there's access to all who need it. Now, that's a very tightly controlled process. DHEC, the Department of Health and Environmental Control, and SLED, the state law enforcement division, they would have constant supervision 24/7 over the growing, processing, and dispensing of cannabis. You would also require those medical cannabis establishments to have what's called real-time seed-to-sale tracking technology so that law enforcement and health officials know where the cannabis is at each step of the process, from the time that it's grown, time that is processed, through the time that is dispensed to a patient. And again, that goes back to what I was saying at the very start of this conversation. My job is to come up with the most tightly regulated, socially conservative medical cannabis bill in the country. That's what South Carolinians want, and it's my obligation as a representative of the people of South Carolina to give them a conservative law. Again, this isn't California or Colorado, this is South Carolina. And while South Carolinians are compassionate and they want doctors to have this power to give cannabis to patients who need it, they do not want recreational. And so it's my obligation to come up with a very conservative policy.
I appreciate that. And I know that in Colorado, they have shown on television that they do monitor it from seed to distribution. But I have degenerative osteoarthritis, have had a hip replaced twice, and have been prescribed opioids, which, frankly, I stopped taking because I don't like the side effects. I'm willing to try just about anything to get rid of the pain for it. So again,
you gave a great example, Carolyn, because people who are opposed to medical cannabis, what they're essentially saying to patients and doctors is, you guys got to stick with the opioids and the opiates that we know are damaging, that we know are incredibly destructive. Why would you not want to empower doctors to let patients take something that's not addictive, that's much fewer side effects, and more effective in most cases? It just doesn't make sense that you've got something that medical science says will be a benefit, but we're having the state or the government reach into that doctor-patient relationship and saying, sorry, you can't have it. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Doesn't to me either. And again, I appreciate you sponsoring the bill and appreciate you speaking with me.
Thank you, Carolyn. Have a great afternoon.
Senator Davis, we've got a hard break in about 30 seconds, but we've still got a lot more calls. I appreciate you being so gracious with your time. I want to give out the Ingalls Advantage talk line again. Is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307, and the word is cover.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.